BBC Surrey with Tony James.
Anyway, it's 8 minutes past two. It's a very good Monday afternoon. Do hope you're well. BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Tony James here with you. Now, it's technology time, which, as you know, can be a bit baffling. Unless you know, Fevzi Turkout. Fevzi, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Tony.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
It's great to talk to you. So tell me, technology and you, is it something that you've always been passionate about?
Do you know, it really is. From an early age, I was dismantling the household gadgets to see how they worked. And of course, at that point, they stopped working. I mean, just to give you an idea, the old Dansett record players.
Oh, yes.
Took one of those apart as a small child.
Do you know what they're worth now?
This one's not worth so much, I can tell you.
The original Dansett. I saw one online for sale for about £400.
Oh, don't make me feel bad. I was only about six. I took the thing apart. Probably didn't work anyway. I've always had that passion, and then, you know, went off to university and studied applied physics and learned how things work inside as well. And you know, it's always been a passion, and now it's great because I get to play with sort of bigger and better toys, and when I break them, I just send them back to the PR company and say, do you know, sorry, that wasn't working properly.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
But I mean,
the technology, obviously. I mean, you are a, you know, gadget expert here, gadget detective, making sense of technology. Of course, it is incredible, isn't it, the pace of change now. When you think, you know, only a few years ago, we really didn't have the internet the way that we do now, and everything wasn't available online. You know, people's whole world has changed in a relatively, you know, pinprick of time in comparison with how long we've been on the planet.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and even in our lifetimes, I mean, there are, you know, lots of people who, even when they were sort of school or university, there weren't computers, much less internet. Mm. You know, it's come on a long, long way. It's quite interesting with regard to sort of consumer products and the fact that there's always a sort of a new model of phone or camera or whatever. And that's not always a good thing, you know, in the sense that those changes are often incremental, and they're often driven by the company's desire and need to sell you more and more stuff. I point you to 3D television. No one wanted it. It didn't really work, but they sold a lot of televisions on the back of the 3D logo. And my advice to people is always, don't always try and, you know, in quotes, upgrade or update your device every year. You know, for example, with a camera, the best way to get really good pictures is to really understand the camera that you've got. They're mature products. I mean, they do improve, but the improvements are incremental. Mm. So you can have, an older camera that you've had for a number of years, but if you spend the time learning it, learning its quirks, learning its features, just becoming a, you know, better photographer, you'll get much better images. But if you are always changing tech, and I have this problem because I have to review it, so I'm always using a different camera, a different phone and so forth, and you never quite get the best out of the device because you never know everything about it. Whereas if you hold on to it for longer, it doesn't matter if there's a couple of extra megapixels on the sensor with the new model. The old model will give you better photos.
That makes absolute sense, and I hadn't really thought of it that way. That's a really good way of looking at it. If you have, dear listener, any technical problems, and they don't have to be very high-tech, you know, it could be the dishwasher you can't use or anything at all. You know,
Dansett.
Or the Dansett,
that
some kid took apart 20-odd years ago. Then you're trying to put it back
20
together.
20-odd years, thank you. I thank you for that. Yeah.
Then give us a call, 03459-57005. That's 03459-570057. Or text us 81333. Start your message with the word radio, or tweet at BBC Sussex or at BBC Surrey. Any technical problems you may have, maybe we can help you. Well, the gadget of the week this week, I feel we should have a fanfare for this, Fevzi, but you've got, well, tell us what you've got.
Right, it's a something called a Cayman Bluetooth 2.1 speaker system. So Cayman is the name of the model, as in the Cayman Islands, and I'll tell you why it's so named in a moment. It's from a company called Kitsound, one word, and it's what's called a 2.1 speaker system. That's to say, it's looks like a speaker, but actually it's wide. It's about 21 inches wide, this device, plugged into the mains. Two stereo speakers and a bass and mid-range speaker as well, so what's sometimes called a subwoofer.
Okay.
So it's easily enough to fill a room full of high quality music, and there are different ways in which you can feed it your music. Yes, you can just simply plug a device into it. So for example, a good use of this device would be to upgrade the sound on your TV sets. TV sets are getting bigger and slimmer, and the speakers are getting ever worse, because for speakers you need a certain amount of, you know, shape and size and depth to it to produce, you know, good bass tones and so forth. So what you could do is just simply plug the audio output of your TV set into this device, sit it underneath the TV, and that doesn't sit flat underneath it, but you could just put it on a shelf underneath it, and it will give you fantastic sound. Or you can use it for music. Now, as I've said, you can plug a wire into it, what's called an auxiliary input, just a standard 3.5 millimeter jack goes in the back, or you can stream to it via Bluetooth wirelessly from typically a smartphone or a tablet, so, or any modern Bluetooth device. So we've got access to so much music now. We've got things like our own music collections on our computers or tablets. You've got things like Spotify, Amazon Music, all sorts of music sources. Now you can just, if your phone supports what's called NFC.
What's NFC? Tell me what that is.
Near field communication. It's a chip inside a lot of modern smartphones that enable you. You can use it for things like tap payments and so forth when you tap on the terminal, but you can actually tap with your smart NFC smartphone this Cayman speaker, and it will pair automatically. It will bond for Bluetooth purposes and allow you to stream your music wirelessly from your little device to these big set of speakers, and it gives you really very good quality.
Now, Fevzi, we have to say there are other, you know, versions of this available, of course. You know, why this particular one? You've given it 4 out of 5 stars, made it your gadget of the week. What is it about this particular speaker system from Kitsound that you like so much?
I think it's for the sound quality. It's a total 50-watt output, and for the sound, it's quite compact. I like the design. The design is quite contemporary, and I said to you there was a reason why it was called Cayman. The manufacturers say that the design was inspired by the stingrays of the Cayman Islands. Because there is this sort of, it sort of sweeps, it's hard to describe over the radio, but it sort of sweeps back. So it's a flat face towards you that sweeps slightly back at the edges. So it does look a little bit stingray-esque. It's also got its own remote control. The NFC is good. The sound quality above all, because if it didn't have good sound, it wouldn't be good. But it's a very stylish device, and it will sit well, you know, in a sort of a modern style living room. So I think for that, it's worth a go. Plus, the price, I think, is quite good.
How expensive is it to buy?
Well, the list price on it is £200, but no one pays £200 for them. Typically, you'll pay about £97 for it. And for that money, I figure with the balance of the sound quality and the features, you know, and the styling, I think it's a good combination.
So let's give that again. That's the gadget of the week. It is a Cayman Bluetooth 2.1 speaker system from Kitsound, which you should be able to get for about £97. And you've given it 4 out of 5 stars there. And that's a fascinating one. I like the fact that from what you say, you can, you know, use different sources. You can just plug something in. Because I think that's with some of these things, the technology is so, you know, ingrained in them that if you just want, oh, I've got a device, I want to plug it in, there's nowhere to plug it in anymore.
Yeah. No, it does that, and it does it well, and you can tell where it's contained. It's a nice thing that the logo is lit up by a red light. There's a red light shining on the logo. But when you connect via Bluetooth, I know it's a small thing, but little things make me happy. When you connect via Bluetooth, that it shines a blue light on the logo. It's just kind of little touches, but it's kind of, wouldn't be out of place in a very stylish living room.
Okay, fantastic stuff. So that is our gadget of the week. So we found out our gadget of the week with our gadget detective, Fevzi, making sense of technology on the programme today. And we move on to something I know, Fevzi, this is something I think a lot of people have had problems with. How many people have broken the glass on their phone? It's fairly easy to do. You can just drop it, you can just knock it, you know. Is there something now that's going to help us stop that in the future?
It's getting better, and you're right. Shattered or cracked screens are the number one cause of smartphone repairs and customer complaints across the world. So it's extremely common. Most smartphones, when dropped, are dropped from somewhere between waist and shoulder height, and many of them do break. Now, there is a company called Corning, which is a specialist glass manufacturer. That's Corning with a C. They actually take back a long way, back to 1879, this company, when they produced the glass that was used in the Ionic Edison light bulb. So they've been around for a while. Hmm. And they've made a thing called Gorilla Glass for quite some time, but they've now announced Gorilla Glass version 5. It's funny how glass comes in versions as well now. But what they're saying is that they've managed to make one that's much more resistant to breakages. So they're saying it can survive more than 80% of drops from as high as 1.6 metres, that's 5 feet, onto a hard surface.
Really?
So that, wow. I mean, that's pretty good. And also they're claiming it's twice as good at resisting scratches and other damage compared to what's on the market at the moment. So, you know, glass is glass and it's always going to be somewhat vulnerable. But, you know, this sounds like a big step forward. And they're saying it will start turning up in smartphones in probably the next 3 or 4 months. So I'm wondering whether, for example, the iPhone 7, which is due around that sort of time frame, may feature it. It's worth sort of looking out for that, especially if you pay all that money for a smartphone. You want to protect it.
Yeah, it's funny with, again, this is a good point with technology. I'm sure one or two listeners would probably agree with me that the difficulty is, you know, you've got something like these devices now, which have the entire world on a sort of handheld device thing. It's very kind of scary, isn't it? Because, you know, if it breaks or if it shatters or if you lose it, I mean, you've lost so much now, you know. And I've had people who've had their phones stolen and it's a nightmare. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the content, you're right. Generally speaking, the content of a smartphone is more valuable than the smartphone. And just if you don't believe me, just think about what's on your smartphone. Have a look through it and now think about how you'd feel if it was suddenly gone. So the answer to that is a smartphone is a mobile computer that happens to make phone calls as well.
Yeah.
Not terribly well, I'd suggest, in most cases. It seems to be an add-on feature, the phone calls bit these days. But it is that. And like any other computer, it needs to be backed up. And one of the ways in which most smartphones can be backed up is simply by connecting them using the cable that came with it to your laptop or your desktop computer and allow it to back up. So
how complicated is that to do? I know a lot of people listening would think, well, I'd love to have a backup of my phone, but I'm not very technological as a person. What do? You plug it in and...
For example, if you're an iPhone user, you simply install the iTunes software, which is used for things like podcasting and music downloads and so forth. And as soon as you connect it using a sort of USB cable into the smartphone, it will detect that the phone is attached and it will just do an automatic backup into iTunes. And,
And
that's
okay.
A full backup. So if the phone were to disappear or just completely break and you replace it with a new phone, it will just reinstate that backup for you. You can also back up to the cloud, which is another way of saying onto the internet. You can back up, for example, a lot of devices are set up so as soon as you take a picture, a copy of that picture is sent up into the cloud. Yeah, and that can be good for backup as well, but just be aware that when it's stored in the cloud online, it's outside your direct control.
Now, again, this is worrying, isn't it? Because, you know, it's a little bit like, are you going to give sensitive information, etc., where you don't know where it's going to end up? I guess if you gave it to somebody and said, go and take this and put it somewhere, but don't tell me, you'd never do that.
No, exactly. It really depends on what the nature of it is. The benefits of that sort of backup are that it's off what they call off-site. So let's say, God forbid, one has a fire in one's home. Your backup would probably burn with the phone, or there was a theft and they steal both the laptop and the phone. So in which case your backup's gone. So it's good to have a first backup in-house, but a second one, you know, off-site. But you have to think about what it is you're backing up. If it is like your music collection, then that's generally not deemed to be sensitive. It's just really useful to have access to it because when it's in the cloud, it means you could stream it from any device wherever you are. So there's those benefits as well. If, however, it is, you know, your accounts or you know, your love letters or whatever it is, something sensitive, maybe that's not the best thing
to put
into there. So, you know, you have to show some common sense as well about what you put up there. But, it's a good thing. This Corning glass seems to be, progress, and it will continue to get tougher and, maybe we'll get a bit less clumsy. But part of the problem also with smartphones is that there's such a push to make them ever more svelte and thin, and it makes them more vulnerable. You know, if you wanted to make a phone more chunky, it would survive the fall irrespective of the glass that was in it, because it would have, you know, rubberized corners and it would bounce and so forth. But Apple had this problem when they were, for example, there was something called Bendgate, when people worked out they could bend an iPhone 6 Plus because it was so thin that it was, you know, structurally bendable. And you know, that's always a balance between a sort of a svelte design and robustness.
Mm, absolutely. Well, it's fascinating. I can talk to you for ages, and you make it all sound so very simple, Fevzi, which is really good. Thank you very much indeed for being on today.
Absolute pleasure.
It's been a joy to talk to you. So the gadget of the week again, the Caiman Bluetooth 2.1 speaker system from Kitsound, and also look out for Gorilla Glass on your mobile phone. It might stop the glass from shattering. And Fevzi, we'll talk to you again very soon. Have a lovely afternoon.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you so much. There we go, our technology expert this afternoon. What he does, he does make it all sound so simple, doesn't he? Just get a lead out, plug it into your laptop, back your phone up. I just sit there looking at it and thinking, what do I do now? Click on that? What's going on?